Well, a very, very warm welcome to St. Margaret's on this this very chilly morning. Well done for making it this morning. And to those who are watching online, I'm the Reverend Mike Bissett, and I'm the vicar here. And today we are celebrating Christ the King. It's one of these things, eventually in this world, you see people who become kings eventually get corrupted. It just happens. All of those who start off with it's a coup and it all starts off wonderfully and then it all goes pear-shaped because the corruption of power and of wealth eventually gets to people. But of course, our king in Jesus is a different kind of king. He's a genuinely humble, kind and gracious kind of king. So kings don't have a good press at the moment. Our king is different, so remember that on this day of Christ the King. Also, David Ellingham spoke to Ron Johnson yesterday. Many of you remember Big Ron, as we used to call him. Well, he's 100 now, which is fantastic. And he was just saying to David yesterday how he remembers the fellowship here with great fondness and affection. His voice is still as strong as ever. But apparently David says you need to speak to him with a voice as strong as his because he's very deaf. But that's fine. So Ron sends his love and regards. Also, parish newsletter is out. And Roger and Christine tell me that there's an unusual opportunity has arisen because a couple of our deliverers have dropped out. So there's an opportunity here for you to fill some vacancies. It'll be on a first-come, first-served basis, so get to Roger and Christine straight away, because you have the opportunity to deliver the parish newsletters, so you're doing something about the kingdom of God, but also to tell people. You have an opportunity to pray for the houses you're delivering them to. So as you put it through their letterbox, you say, God bless these people. You have no idea what's going on inside that house. But God does. And something of this, pray that something here in the very feeble thing that we produce, but that God would do something by his Spirit in that house as it lands on their letterbox, that would be the sound of blessing just dropping on that house. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are King, that you are Lord. But Father, we thank you that that means that you are kind and gracious and loving. And so, Father, we turn to you afresh this morning. We turn our eyes upon Jesus as our Lord, our King, our Master, and our friend. We ask you'd fill us afresh with your Spirit and that you would inspire our worship this morning. Because we ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And I was just delaying there to give Catherine cause for concern. I published the Banns of Marriage between Samuel David Carey, single of this parish, and of Zoe Elizabeth Roll, single also of this parish. And this is for the third time of asking. And if anybody here knows a just cause or impediment why these persons may not be joined together in holy matrimony, you are to declare it. And Catherine and Steve, their daughter-in-law is getting married on the 4th of December. Is that right, Catherine? 4th? Yeah, 4th is good. So do pray for them. Lovely couple. And our first hymn, Thou Whose Almighty Word, number 557. We stand to sing. So we've gathered together this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
So we sit or kneel to pray. Let us pray. We say together the prayer of preparation. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, to love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. So as we come to confession, those of you who've ever tried untangling a ball of string, you know the amount of patience and the care it takes just to pull apart all those little knots. Well, sin is like that in our lives. It's all those little knots. As we come to God in confession, he just begins to straighten out those bits of string, just undo the little knots and pull them out straight again, so that we can be a useful piece of string. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. And together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. So, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, our collect for today. Eternal Father, whose Son, Jesus Christ, ascended to the throne of heaven that he might rule over all things as Lord and King, keep the church in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace, and bring the whole created order to worship at his feet, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So please be seated as Deborah and then Ruth come with our readings. Thank you.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Daniel, chapter 7, beginning to read at verse 9. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 4. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of the Lord.
Alpha and Omega be. End of faith as its beginning. Number 377, we stand to sing the hymn Love Divine, or Love's Excelling, number 377.
Thank you. the Gospel of the Lord according to John. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "That is your own idea," Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "Are you a king then?" asked Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So may the words of my lips and the thoughts in all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen. Please be seated. So this Sunday is called Christ the King. We all have our ideas about kings and queens, and we're usually thinking of rulers, great people, people of great power and authority. David was a good king, and he ruled Israel for many years. During his reign, Israel prospered and grew. For the rest of their history, Israel looked back with longing upon David, hoping for another king of his stature, hoping for someone who would lead them to victory and prosperity once again. However, when we look into David's record as a man, adultery, a liar, a murderer, we might be uncomfortable with the idea of a king. But we do long for great leadership. In political elections, many of us find ourselves wanting more than any candidate can offer. No candidate truly captures our hearts. We want so much. We want a ruler with vision. We want a ruler with integrity. We want a ruler with inspirational leadership. We want a ruler with command of the issues. We want a ruler who cares about people. We want a ruler who will serve as a role model for our children and for us. But not many people live up to these expectations. However, Christ the King is a Sunday when we celebrate the fact that we actually do have a great King. That great King is Jesus Christ. Our gospel lesson seems like a strange choice for this Sunday. On Christ the King Sunday, we'd expect to find a King Jesus on a throne, high and lifted up. We would expect to find throngs of people on their knees before his throne. Instead, we find Jesus on trial before Pilate. We find him on the way to the cross, on the way to his death. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus' accusers knew that Pilate could not tolerate a challenge to Rome's authority. But Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world." Those of us looking on would want to reassure Pilate. We want to tell Pilate that Jesus is a king, but not in the way that makes him a threat to Rome. We want to warn Pilate that for the rest of history, people will judge him well or badly based on his treatment of Jesus. We want to tell Pilate to protect Jesus from the Jewish authorities. But of course, we cannot look back and change history. And it's better that way. Jesus did not come into this world to be protected. Jesus came to show us a new kind of king. The Jewish people knew what kind of king they wanted. They wanted another David. They wanted a king who would lead them sword in hand. They wanted a king who would cut down their enemies. We wanted a king who would march home with prisoners in tow. They wanted a king who would live in a palace. They wanted a king to give them freedom. No more Roman soldiers. No more Roman taxes. They wanted the same things from their king that we want from our leader. Success. Victory, prosperity, authority, and power. But Jesus came to show us a new kind of kingship. His was not the power of a sword, but the power of love. He came to rule not from a throne, but from a cross. He came riding not on a great horse, but on a donkey. He came not catering for the powerful, but healing the sick. He chose his inner circle, not from nobility, but from fishing boats. There is a story that reflects the difference between what people wanted and what Jesus offered. A Danish sculptor set out to create a statue of Jesus. He had in mind exactly the kind of man he wanted to represent, a strong man, a man in charge, a man before whom all people would bow. King of kings, Lord of lords. With that clear vision, he worked quickly to create a tall figure, head thrown back, arms stretched high in a gesture of authority. Having finished his work, the artist locked his studio and went home to sleep. During the night, a fog rolled in and entered the studio through an open window. When the artist returned in the morning, he was shocked to find the statue ruined. The fog had moistened the clay. The Christ's head drooped. His arms had fallen low. The strong chisel features of his face had softened. The artist, seeing the statue had changed, stepped forward with a heavy heart to see if he could redeem it. Then it struck him. The statue was not ruined. It represented Christ in a different light. No longer a commanding, powerful Christ, it had become a servant Christ. The lowered head allowed Christ to see people who were down and out. It let him look at little children. The lowered arms were inviting. The softened face was compassionate. Instead of trying to restore the statue, the artist made only one change. On the statue's base, he inscribed the words, "Come unto me." Jesus came to show us a new kind of king. But it's easy for us to say that Jesus, King Jesus, was doomed to fail. The compassion is no match for a sharp steel edge. You can never make an army out of lame, the blind and the sick. That softness just encourages bullies. And indeed, Jesus did seem to fail. Within hours, he was being whipped and driven through the streets to his cross. The crowd mocked him. The soldiers killed him. They hung a sign over his head that read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." But it was a joke. And this king, born in a stable among goats and crucified between two thieves, a poor start in life, leading to a poor end of life. Would we be foolish to follow such a foolish king? But we do. Foolish disciples have followed this foolish Christ for 2,000 years. There seems to be no end to it. Foolish disciples follow Christ today in every nation of the world. This morning, millions of people are breaking bread and drinking wine to become one again with the one who brought us to the foolishness of the cross. The one who died lives again, not just in heaven, but in the hearts of every disciple across the face of the whole wide world. But what about those who killed Jesus? Where are his accusers? Gone. Where are the Herods? Gone. Where are the Roman soldiers? Gone. Where's the Roman Empire? Gone. In an amazing turn of history, the smartest and most powerful people of Jesus' day have turned to dust. But the one whom they killed lives on as a billion points of light. Jesus has called us, his disciples, his church, to be just like him. He's called us to give instead of taking, to love instead of judging, to care instead of abandoning hopeless causes. In Christ's name, Christians have died on mission fields all over the world so that people might hear the good news that Christ died for them. In Christ's name, Christian physicians have started hospitals to heal people who have no health insurance, no money, and no hope. In Christ's name, Christians have started soup kitchens and orphanages and Alcoholics Anonymous groups and drug rehab centres and old folks' homes. That's all right for me. In Christ's name, Christians have carried dying people off the streets all over the world so that they may die in dignity. Jesus said to Pilate, "You say that I'm a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The truth to which Jesus testified is the truth of the cross. And the Apostle Paul called it the foolishness of the cross. King Jesus called it the truth. And so let's listen to him. Let us praise him. Let us worship him. And let us serve him. Amen.
Now Tim's going to lead us in our intercessions. Let us pray. Thank you, Tim.
Let us humble ourselves in the presence of God and pray to him for the church and for the world. In response to thy kingdom come, please respond with thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Loving God, in all our ministry as the church, both laity and clergy, and for Mike, Graham, Mary, and David. On Sundays and on weekdays, may we give you glory and further your kingdom. Direct us to those who are searching and give us the wisdom to know how best to draw them to your love. Thy kingdom come. Loving God, may we actively seek to do good, to stand up against injustice and work for peace. We bring before you the world's trouble spots, Middle East, Ukraine, the Far East, and the global fight against the pandemic. Give us courage to act as true citizens of heaven. Thy kingdom come. Loving God, may the ways we manage our homes, decisions, time, and money be in keeping with our calling as inheritors of the kingdom. May your love support all our loving. Thy kingdom come. Loving God, search for the lost, bring back those who have strayed, bind up the injured, and strengthen the weak, and help us all to share the work of loving care. We remember those listed for prayers on the weekly news sheet. Thy kingdom come. Loving God, welcome into your kingdom all whose lives show them to be your servants. Prepare us all to meet you with the confidence of sins confessed and forgiven. Thy kingdom come. Loving God, you have shown us such love and humility. We offer you our thanks and praise. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Tim, thank you. And so we stand to affirm our faith in the words of the Creed. Find that on page 3 of the service booklets. We believe. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. So we remain standing to sing our next hymn, number 303. Jesus, stand among us, number 303.
Thank you.
We follow our service with the second of the Eucharistic prayers on page 7. It's page 7. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. For the Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
So we sit or kneel to pray. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh. As your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin, he lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us, and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Savior of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. And as we offer you this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people, and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. And our service continues on page 17. With a prayer that our Lord Jesus himself has taught us. Our Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins,
as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Philip, the body of Christ, broken for you. See the body of Christ, broken for you. Jeff, the body of Christ, broken for you. Broken for you. Leave the body of Christ broken for you. Peter, the body of Christ broken for you. Sandra, the body of Christ broken for you. Lawrence, the body of Christ broken for you. So we say together the prayer at the top of page 18. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. So our offertory hymn, number 513, stand up for Jesus. So I think we've got to stand to sing this, haven't we? Number 513. Please do join us over in the sanctuary for coffee and biscuits and things like that, and lots of talking straight after the service. So our blessing. Lord, may it be known that we've been with you. Let there be traces of glory in our lives. Let there be the aroma of Christ upon us and the fire of God within us. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you and with those you love, both now and forever. Amen. So go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.